We got in three dreams in the Dropbox. Did everybody get to their Dropbox and see that there were three dreams in there?
I only saw two.
Andrew put another one in.
So there are two from Simone and one from Andrew.
Oh, yes. Okay. One of Simone's is an earlier one.
Mm-hmm. And there were several that I had up there that I guess maybe that we hadn't done. I'm not sure whose.
Well, the ones that I'm going to deal with today are Simone's 15-11-25, Simone's 15-11-27, and Andrew's November 29th. Because those are the ones I printed out, and those are what I have here. So that's all there is.
Yeah, right.
And I don't have a computer in front of me. So we have to go with that one.
All right.
So who wants to read Simone's dream of
15-11-25? Let's see. Sorry, I'm pulling it up right now. Short one.
Yeah, both are not very long.
You want to read it, Simone?
I can. You will tell me when I'm ready.
So, Misty, since this is a paragraph block, should you you want to do it a line at a time or two lines at a time, or should she tell us where the breaks are?
I would say run through it first once, okay? Run through the dream, and then I'm going to take it apart in sections, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just so that, because some of the language is a little off, and I want to be sure that she lets me know what that language really is. Okay?
So, okay.
Go ahead, Simone.
I am a guide for hikes. With a friend, I go the way which I will go later on an excursion with the children. We are at the point where the way is a little steep, on the edge of a mountain pond. The way is flooded and leads us directly through the water. Above the pond, we meet a dump, and it strongly stinks. I say to my friend, "It is a pity that this dump is at such a nice place. Hopefully, they cleaned it up when I come again." Few days later, I go the same way, only with David alone, not with the whole class. The way was still wet, but we can see it clearly beside the pond. We have fun, then it is a little slippery, and part time we go on knees and hands. We are dirty, but the dump is gone. We really enjoyed the hike.
Okay.
P-O-D.
So, up till I am a guide for hikes, with a friend I go the way which I will go later on an excursion with the children. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is
the Carola is there, huh?
Yes, she is.
How would you translate reconnoscieren?
Reconnaissance. Like a reconnaissance log.
I didn't find that in the dictionary. Yeah. Reconnaissance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what it was.
Okay. So, anybody want to say what you think this dream is about?
It's about, you know, as I'm looking at it, I'm seeing Simone taking on the role of being a guide in her life for people that she's guiding to, what, forever living or for whatever she's guiding them to, her role in life.
Okay, Simone, do you think that what you are trying to guide people to is a life with forever living?
Yes.
Okay. So
I do it with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
Introduce them to the ideas of forever living.
Do you feel that people that aren't into forever living are like children?
Yes.
Okay. So that anybody you meet that's not in forever living is basically a child in life.
Yeah, you can see that. Yes, you can see that this way.
But do you see it that way?
I never thought about the word child. For sure, I do explain and introduce them what I heard what forever living is about. And this is also how I act with children. I introduce them to something, to a method or something, yes.
Okay. Do children have to do with people that are entrusted to you?
Entrusted? What does that mean?
Entrusted.
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 Within your care.
Yes.
That you are.
Yeah.
That are given to you to take care of and to
watch over and guide.
Watch over and guide.
Yes.
Okay.
That's my role in school for sure. Yes.
And do you feel that that is your role in life?
Maybe, yes.
So what's been going on lately, Simone, that you might be thinking of taking on showing people to new heights or new areas or new pathways?
So there are two parts. When I speak to a client, they are very interested in what I say.
Okay.
But because they come, I think forever living, these ideas is part of what they come for. But in school, it's different. I never mention forever living, but I put out ideas, and they are not so welcome.
Okay, so
because the dream is like more than a single patient, yeah. It seems like it's a group that you'll be dealing with. You're thinking about dealing with later.
Yes.
Do you feel that you're preparing yourself to be able to take people on such excursions?
Yes, I'm doing my best.
Okay.
Yeah, I prepare a lot when I have a client and translate. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that you will get to the point where you're going beyond just one-on-one?
Uh-huh. I didn't think about that recently. I did, in earlier times, I did put on some workshops, like about the Asawa body.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 5 years, no, not such work. I put it out, but no one was interested to come.
Well, how would you feel about putting yourself out there as a guide for people on their path of life?
So, since the stuff is very interesting to me and really, I think, changed my life, I would have fun, but I would be cautious in the first place, I think.
What way caution?
I have the experience that they get at me, and they sometimes at school they don't tell me nice words. I mean, it's always in a, let's say, polite form, but it's clearly that, yeah, they don't at least agree with something I put out, or yeah, they are not interested and think I'm in the fantastic world. Yeah.
And does that bother you?
Yes, that does bother me.
Can you?
Sometimes I don't understand why it's different with clients, and that's cool. Maybe I don't use the same words. I haven't figured it out.
Well, the clients come to you for that. At school, you are offering that to them. And all I'm going to say to you is, in my opinion, keep offering and be okay with yourself and know that you are trying to give them a gift. And if they don't want the gift, that's fine. But when they're criticizing you, or in their polite way, they are actually talking about themselves, not about you. And when you start understanding that when people do those kinds of things, they're talking about themselves, how they feel, how they're scared, how it's not working in their lives, how dare you have another way that might work? When you start understanding that that's what people are doing, you will be able to put it out there and not worry about what they think.
I forgot about that. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. That the criticism is not about me, but about themselves, actually.
That's right.
Yeah.
As long as you start carrying that in your mind, then you are freed up to be who you truly are. Because if mm-hmm. you're holding yourself back because they won't like what you say, then you are not free to be who you truly are.
All right.
And what we want most for all of you is to be who you truly are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you take that out of the part where the way is flooded and steep?
We're not there yet.
Ah,
this is your words.
Yes, okay.
No need to read ahead from this.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll read on and we'll get to part of that. We are at a point where the way is a little steep and the edge of the of a mountain pond. Okay, so what's the symbolism in there? What's it talking about? Okay, wrong word. What is it describing?
What I just spoke about.
Yes.
Is not going too easy, in my opinion.
Getting a little emotional?
Oh, yes, I do get emotional about that, yes.
But yet?
I go into frustration. Yeah.
But yet know that you are at a high point. It's a little steep.
Because
but it's
a mountain point?
Yeah, because
or?
you're climbing up.
A
mountain
okay.
brings you up more. Okay, so you're at a higher point in your life, so to speak.
Okay.
But
right.
you are
then
going...
Then...
Go ahead.
No, on that note, it just sort of reminded me when you said that, Misty, that Simone declared herself as mountain mover a couple gatherings ago. I'm not
all
sure
right.
what your relationship with the mountain is, Simone. You want to? Do you have anything to say about a relationship with you and mountains?
Other than living in Switzerland?
Well, I know, it's a good point. I've not been there, so I don't really know how your folks are.
I shouldn't put it out then. Yes, Switzerland is very mountainous. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, she put herself smack in the middle. She puts herself smack in the middle.
Just think of it as just like being in Colorado in the mountains. The same kind of thing. The mountains are just everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The way is flooded. The way is flooded. Go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, I like the mountains, but I also like the flatland, and what I don't like in the mountains is the coldness.
But could we not say that the coldness that you are experiencing is like the coldness of the people who do not understand?
Oh. Yes, I can agree to that completely, yeah.
Okay, so the way is flooded and leads us directly through the water. So what we're talking about here is that, yeah, you're going to be going through the emotions.
Yes.
If you start understanding the emotions more, you will understand that it's their emotions, not your emotions.
Yeah.
Can you make it so? Can you make it be that? And in that, truly express who you are.
Uh-huh. I try to, but I think I often go to molding. And I like to mold them into my beliefs.
Well,
and that's, you said that last week already. Everybody does it in his own authority. They don't have to take mine.
Absolutely. But what all you can do is offer. That's all you can do. If you are trying to get them to do something, then you're not allowing them the same freedom that you want in your life. They have to have the freedom to choose. They have to have the freedom to have their own authority. And if this isn't for them, that's fine. You wish them well and you move on. Okay.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so above the pond we meet a dump. Okay, so you come to a dump and it really stinks.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what's a dump?
A place where old stuff is laying.
Right. So things that we're not using anymore, things that we don't need, you know, things that we don't want in our lives, those kinds of things. Well, they really stink, don't they?
They do sometimes.
So as you guide people on to a new life, you know, it sounds like that you are finding that you find some trash on the way there. Or some issues there.
Everybody.
In my life.
Yeah, but in their lives, too, everybody has trash. Everybody has garbage. Everybody has things that they would like to say they no longer desire in their lives.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they just bitch at you.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to let go of those things. Allow that.
Right.
You know, allow that. Because sometimes it's not that easy to, we feel it's not that easy to just shed the stuff that we don't want any longer. And it's a very,
yes, I know that, yeah.
And it's a very emotional, potentially a very emotional moving forward to discard those things and leave them behind.
These what things?
To discard those things that we don't need any longer. We know we
don't
need.
Oh, discard. Okay, yeah.
No. Like, let go, get rid of.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Dump.
Dump.
I get you. Yeah, dump. Yeah.
Okay.
Leave behind. Yeah.
So I'm going to just quickly go through the rest of this dream, because basically it's retalking about the things that we've already talked about. Basically that you know, you hope that they clean it up, you hope that they let it go, you go back after a while and you find out, hey, they cleaned it up. The way is still wet, but we can clearly see the pond, and so on and so forth, and that you have fun. We have fun.
And you
even
can
in
clearly,
the dirt.
You can clearly see the way, right?
Yes.
So you can clearly, can you clearly see the way?
And if you can clearly see the way, then you can help guide them. And that's what this is about.
Okay.
No matter how deep the emotions are in the beginning, and you need to get through that.
And even if it's a little slippery, and even if you have to get down on your hands and knees in order to do that, and even if you get a little dirty, you find out ultimately that the dump is gone, the garbage that they've been carrying for however long is gone, and then you really enjoy the hike. You really enjoy being the guide to take people there, to get them there, to allow them to see all these things that they're carrying with them that they no longer need, and let go of.
Yeah.
So Simone, you see that point where you said, like, in a dream, you say it's in a nice place, hope they clean it up when you come again, and then you say a few days later you go the same way. So I just say that to me it sounds like in your dream here you're telling yourself, or you've discovered that, you know, maybe you find these issues come up with people as you take them on these paths, you know, the upsets or the smelly stuff or whatever you get into. But if you come back a few days later, you know, the way may be clear. Sometimes people might just need a little time to simmer on it, even though they gripe at you.
Absolutely true.
So don't be, I guess, and to me it seems like it says, hey, wow, it seems like if you were hearing that, then maybe now you can go again to meet these people more confident that, you know, the way can be clear.
Yeah.
It just says that to me. Anyway, that seems like what your dream is, you showing yourself in that dream.
But I can relate to that. Something similar happened right now at the school. Yeah.
What does that mean?
There is a teacher. She always gets over the point when she goes towards illness, like a flu or something, whatever it can be in winter. And she always only stay home when she really falls down. And I recently had to take over her class because I was working that afternoon in that class. And I wrote her an email and said that I really wished that she would give a rest to her body earlier when she has those outpicturings. I didn't say in that word, I say that those words now. And then she got at me and said she knows what she's doing and whatever. And yesterday we heard that she is in hospital and she has on many parts of the upper body water inside, and nobody knows now what it is, so maybe I can speak to her in another way when she's here again. Yeah.
Okay, so anybody else have anything else to add to that dream?
Just reminds me a lot about what Roger might feel sometimes dealing with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have a question.
Okay.
I said before that I would be cautious when I go on with groups again. And Roger said the last week there are things that we speak together that he wouldn't mention under, in quotes, regular people. And I said, why? And he said, just don't do it.
Well, because they wouldn't understand. If you guide them there slowly and get them to the point where they could understand, yeah, you can share some of these things with them. But you forget that they don't have all the information that you have. And so when you lay some of this stuff on them, they are totally lost and will just reject. You have to... You have to give them the picture from the start. You can't jump in the middle and expect that they're going to be there with you.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why you're talking about being a guide. That's why you're talking about taking them from the beginning of the hike through the whole hike. You have to lead them slowly through the whole hike. You can't just drop them out of a helicopter and say, okay, well, here we are. We're right up here next to the pond and the dump and everything else. How do you feel about that? Well, they're not going to be real happy.
All right.
You have to bring them along. Give them the knowledge.
Maybe I'd,
give them the understandings. Right. And if you just say...
I do too big of a leap sometimes, maybe.
Sometimes we do. And so, you know, like you're talking to us about outpicturings. She doesn't even... No, you know, sure, you say, when you get that kind of sick, you shouldn't come to school. Okay? That's probably closer to what you said to her.
But, yes, sure.
But she takes it as a judgment instead of saying, for you, it would be better for you to take care of your body in this way. And realize when your body starts talking to you that it's time to take care of it. Instead of trying to push that body to do something that it really can't handle doing at the present time. And then you can get into things about how you live these things into your life and so on and so forth. But you've got to take it so that they can understand.
In very small doses, you know, like really, like
see
going
that's
uphill one step at a time, you know. You're in the mountainous terrain, so that means it's all uphill from here. So you can't push them up the road or up the pathway. You've got to kind of pave it literally one step at a time and allow time and give time for them to let things sink in and simmer over it, what Andrew said too, you know, and you come back a few days later and you might find a certain change had taken place.
And that may be your way of doing it. See, that's more my way of doing it. Roger is more I might only have this one time and I'm going to get right in your face and I'm going to go for it. Okay? But these people are in your life all the time. So you have the opportunity to bring them along slowly, get them to trust you, get them to have conversations with you, get them to ask questions and allow yourself to paint that picture. When I paint a picture, I don't paint it just bam, there it is. I paint my pictures a little bit here and a little bit there, and I draw an outline and I'm basically getting it there, and then I'll add more color here and I'll add shadows there and I'll do all these things, and it takes time. And a lot of times with these people that have no understanding, it's going to take time. It's going to take time.
Yes.
So we don't have to slam them right in the face with it. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, the next dream I have here is also Simone's, I believe. Is that right in the timeline?
No. Yes, 2 days later.
It continued.
Andrews is... This is the 27th and Andrews is the 29th, right? Okay. So, dream number two. Patrick, are you still there?
You do it the same way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you just say something to me, Misty?
I just wanted to make sure you guys were still there, that you hadn't dropped off.
No, we're still here.
Just being so quiet.
Yeah, it's different tonight.
Okay, hopefully okay different.
Yep.
Okay, so go ahead, Simone.
I enter a room in which I'm going to prepare a presentation about executive functions. On the left side...
Sorry, go ahead.
Pardon?
No, go ahead.
On the left side is a big window with a wonderful view over the lake. On the right side, two doors which leads into little preparation rooms. In the middle is a big conference table. I just put my stuff on the table when the door opens and Beat Eaton steps in. He says, please explain me these executive functions ahead so that I have at least an idea about what you speak. I am still busy organizing my stuff and just greet him without responding immediately. When I turn around, he was gone, and the security person who suddenly was here said that he just went for a coffee. So I go on with my preparations.
Okay.
EOD.
Okay, so the first thing you're going to have to explain to us are what are executive functions.
So this is a term from the special educationists, and these are skills for the children that they should have to work in groups, like coding, working together, or concentration, have a focus on the subject, or organizing themselves, planning steps by steps, selecting in portion and in important things for the subjects. Is it understandable?
So, Simone, is it kind of like these are functions that are important for people to be able to live their lives?
Yes. Yeah.
So if we're going to take a shot at maybe making what's this dream about? The insipid of the dream.
Yeah.
Are you perhaps the insipid of the dream? Are you preparing a presentation on important functions in living a life? Are you, not necessarily tied to your work, but overall here, it represents a presentation that you want to put together or you're preparing on important functions for individuals in life?
Right now, I haven't thought about that.
So without an insipid, there's just a lot of detail here. We won't know what it means at all.
Well, we always get the insipid first, and I agree with you, Patrick, that it's about exactly giving people the tools or whatever they need to in order to function more easily in life, and relative to following along, that people usually dream, the dreams keep going on, and the first one was about forever living and everything else. I would say that, yes, this is a continuation of the dream that came before. And it's talking about giving lectures to people and teaching them about the forever living, the way the forever living functions and how you function in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And how you organize yourself or those functions to make them work for yourself.
So, I want to just build on one thing that Patrick brought in, because I think this applies to the previous dream, too. I'm thinking, am I listening to this, Simone? That in this dream is talking to you about dealing with people on a much larger scale than one client at a time or people at school.
I think it's making
sense more when I look at it as you on a much broader scale than those two things. It's like you're seems to me the dream is you are considering working outside that, those confines. You're going beyond that.
I agree with you, Andrew. I think that her abiding self is saying, we know these things, let's get out there, let's spread it out, let's quit holding it down and within ourselves and just sharing it with a few people and get out there and shout it from the mountaintops.
Yeah.
And so the next line talks about a room that has a big window on the left side. To me, that says that there's whether she used the term wonderful view, but it seems to me that might also stand up for or stand in for an expansive view on her left. And on her right is where she can prepare. It's set aside for preparation. And so she's combined it in she's got a vision here where she's combined it with an expansive view and or given herself an environment within which she has an expansive view and she has dedicated set aside place for preparation. Now, who is Bear Eaton?
We all wonder.
This is the headmaster of the school. He is the leader of the Department of Education of the local government.
Okay. So he's an important person in that field.
Right.
And he wants to know what the heck you're going to be talking about before you talk about it.
Right.
And then he disappears. He's not interested.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
He went for a coffee.
Not interested.
I don't know.
Gone.
I don't know I don't know that I would go to that conclusion because all it says was he was gone and the security person said he went for coffee, which doesn't mean that he's not interested, but means that he may be willing to give her the time to prepare.
Yeah, well, that's all busy preparing. He looks up and he's gone.
Mm-hmm. So you're in his absence, and he didn't hang around long enough to hear from you, in his absence, you got on with your preparations.
Yes.
So you,
and I woke up by alarm clock. Did you include
so
alarm?
How about this, trying this on for size? Maybe that's showing you don't need him. He's left the room for whatever reason. He's left the room. And you go on with your preparations. Is that in fact probably or telling you that you really don't need him? You can go on with your preparations and the alarm clock goes off to wake you up to that.
I would take you away from the need him and just say that she is so focused on what she is doing that whatever he does not affect her from the image that we're being given in this dream is that she's going to go on and she's going to get her stuff together and get the preparations made and he's just going to have to wait because her focus is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, but he's, to me, I think it's important that he's absent and she goes on with her preparations.
I think that's true. It's important that she go on with her preparations. Yes. And that's pretty much what this is talking about.
Yeah, the only thing that was stuck out for me still as a thing was he's in his place as a security guy, and I'm not sure what the security is in reference to her security or securing him or what.
I think that in the way that it's presented, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the security people are there just to protect the environment so that you are safe in the environment.
Yes. Carola?
Yes.
Do you know Securitas?
Security.
Yeah, security. That's the same word.
Yeah, it's not a police person. It's
no.
A person who is
like
on
a guard,
face.
Like a private hire.
Security.
Yeah,
private hire guard.
They are out right. in the night. Yeah, like yeah. something
security
like
is
a fire.
Perfectly proper. That's the perfect word for it, Simone. Security is perfectly right.
Okay.
That describes
okay.
it. Yeah.
No.
So that in what you're doing, you feel secure. And that's what the security person is there to do, is to make sure that the environment is secure.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like to be sure. In my environment. That's right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's pretty much all that dream is saying. Unless anybody
Thank
has something
you.
Else to add.
Well, I think the security showing up there for you is telling you as well that you do know that you are secure in that environment too. Prepare teaching, to prepare talking to larger groups maybe, and that is, you do know that is a safe place for you to be at.
You know, I was thinking it was as much as, so the guy she was going to talk to, the boss or the man, whoever he is, the administrator is gone. And where she might wonder what or why, what was it, something I said, you know, that kind of thing. It's security there just saying he went to get coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Like he'll be back.
He's totally
it's
fine.
Similar to the thing of when you revisit the path in the prior dream, suddenly everything's kind of cleaned up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not the end of things. Keep preparing. That's just how I took it.
Okay. Anybody else?
No.
Okay, then we get on to this long-winded dream.
Oh, sorry, guys. When did I ever do anything in a few words?
Oh, I'm right behind you, and then I kind of wake up in the morning and thinking, oh, there were several dreams, and then once I think about it, it's like, oh, no, actually, it's the same thing. It's just ongoing, and it's just
well, that's,
forever
that's
as long.
That's actually what we tend to do, is we tend to draw ourselves a picture of it in many ways in an evening. And then the most important one is the summary right before we wake up.
Mm.
It basically summarizes what the night has been about. And so I always feel that the most important dream for me is the dream right before I wake up, if I'm allowed to wake up on my own. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the dream I want to capture. That's the one that's saying, and in summary. So that's the one I always go for. I want that one. I want to hold on to it and somehow really explore that one. And that way...
Well, that's what this one was. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that way I don't spend my whole night trying to capture all these dreams and not get sleep. Because I believe that sleep is very important. And we need that to clear out all the junk out of our brains and be able to function more clearly in the morning.
Mm.
So to me, sleep is very important. Yes, we're having conversations. Yes, this is all going on. But yeah, you definitely need your sleep. And I know another person that is starting to say, maybe I should have gotten more sleep. Honestly, that is going on.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Andrew.
This should be easy for anybody who heard
my dreams before, bestow upon us
right?
this great wisdom of yours.
Wow, it's interesting. You guys have all heard this one before, so... There's a twist to it, though. In the backyard where I grew up. Hey, we know what that is, right? Members of my family and I, possibly some nieces and nephews there, too, had captured a dragon. And we had its head locked in a big, heavy steel trap near the garage. Anybody want to weigh in on that?
Well, just run it through first, and then we'll wait.
Oh, okay. It was a dark, black and brown beast, and we were preparing to kill it. I was completing the last steps in forging a special kind of spear that could kill the dragon. The spear needed a magic crystal melted into the opening, and we had forged into the head of the spear to hold the crystal. So get it, there's a spear, it's metal, and in the head of it there's this place where we got to put a crystal. The crystal melted into place and started to glow. I tried to put on the finishing touch by affixing some decals to the metal, by heating a sheet of the decals in the fire and placing them over the metal of the spear. For some reason, the sheet of decals did not stick. Thought maybe I'd laid it on the wrong side down on the metal. Someone asked me if we still had the receipt for the decals. I found the receipt and returned my attention to the dragon, saying there's something we need to attend to first. I knelt down next to the dragon's head with the spear in hand, and some other guy knelt down beside me. He said I should thrust the spear right through the crystal that was growing from the dragon's forehead. The dragon's features were so dark I had to look closely to see where the crystal was. I found it and stabbed the spear right through the crystal in his forehead. Then one of the kids called up on the walkie-talkie that he wanted to come see, but the guy next to me told him to wait just a second. The spear was deep in the dragon's head, and I twisted it just to make sure the dragon was dead. This broke the dragon's face in half, and the guy next to me started complaining that now I'd destroyed the sample he was going to give someone. That someone maybe was the person on the walkie-talkie.
Okay.
End of dream.
So let's go back and get the insipid here, okay? First paragraph looking thing, whatever you've got here. In the backyard where I grew up, some members of my family and I, possibly some nephews and nieces were there too, had captured a dragon and had its head locked in a big heavy steel trap near the garage. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we've visited that one before.
Yeah, but this is different because I never really had the dragon before.
Yeah, but you've had a monster before.
Recently, yeah. So this is like backyard. So this is the past. This is where I grew up. This is Alabama, Mobile. For me, that means Catholic upbringing, judgments, and those kind of things, cause and effect, traditional beliefs, mostly anything you could lump under Catholicism. So it's in that area of my life.
Okay.
And we've caught a dragon, and it's basically trapped.
Okay.
Hmm. Is that the monster?
Well, the monster that he had before, if I recall correctly, it was the monster was that everybody saw you as possibly being gay and that you weren't gay and that kind of thing. Was that not the monster that we had before?
It was basically a question of what I chose like a fruit flavor cracker or something. So was it the fruits of my labor or was it being, fruity or was it whatever?
So
something in that
it
area.
It was something about how normal people saw you and how you see you and the not wanting to be seen that way.
Right.
Right. So that was the
monster
from before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaning more towards, I tend to agree with you that this has to do with religion. And
yep.
The reluctance to, let's say, explore another religion because of where this monster has taken you before.
Okay.
And that
can we go on a hike with Timon?
Okay.
Andrew, what does a dragon mean to you?
In this particular case, this is a dark, Western kind of beast. So there's two kind of dragons to me in my understanding, or what I've studied. The Asian dragons are like these. They bring the bounty of the universe. They're jolly creatures rising up out of the swamp, etc. but this was a Western dragon. They tend to be threatening. They hoard things. They're threats, essentially. They're dangerous.
Or we could also do a twist on the word and say, what is dragging you down?
Oh.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Okay. Because we do that a lot in our dreams.
Okay.
We take things that could easily be turned just a little bit, and we go, oh, okay. So I would say to you, what is it that is dragging you down presently?
Hmm. Well.
And as you're backing up and I hear the beeping sounds.
I was thinking microwave.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like, you know, when they put a vehicle in reverse and they go backwards.
So what is dragging you down?
Well, it's interesting. I'm not sure how it relates to life in, you know, Mobile, but I mean, there's, I guess, honestly, there's some changes happening right now that I am feeling kind of, they're weighing heavily on me, I guess. I mean, you know, Roger's changes recently have got me thinking, you know, now what? You know, what do I do? What do we, you know, that kind of thing. We talked last week on the Monday night a lot about dependency. You know, whether we've created dependencies or not. And I personally think that I've created dependency. I don't speak for anybody else. In terms of, you know, where I go for, you know, new ideas or for perspective on things. That's one. And then I guess there's just a couple other changes I think are happening that, that I just, with other people in my life that are, it's just, yeah, it's kind of weighing me down a little bit. I don't feel like I'm approaching it with my finest self.
Okay. So do you feel that you have whatever it is that you feel is the monster, the thing dragging you down, or whatever you want to call it? Do you feel like you have a good hold on it? In other words, you talk about a big, heavy steel trap.
Yeah, right. I don't always feel like I have a good hold on it, but there are moments where it just is crystal clear. Like that thing also we talked about a couple weeks ago, like I've been thinking emotions make you stupid, and occasionally I'll just remember that, and things go right into place, and I just think, oh, this is easy. Yeah, I remember. A lot of times it's just a simple thing of, would I do this for, wait, I did this, I chose this. You know, feeling this attitude, this way of looking at things, is this, and this image of myself and all this, are these things I would choose forever and ever? No, I wouldn't. It's self-evident that I do otherwise, even in this situation, and those really seem to help. So I guess sometimes I got a grip on it, and sometimes it runs amok.
Okay. So in this instance, you feel that you have captured it and locked it in a big, heavy steel trap near the garage.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Is it possible that the being near the garage is where we normally put automobiles or cars, and that would that be that it's close to where the life that he lives? He's got it captured and locked down close to where the life that he lives.
Well, it's in this particular case, Patrick, where like that garage that we had, it stored like it was storage for like all our tools and toys and.
Okay.
Various things, yeah. So storage, subconscious maybe? I'm not sure.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so whatever it is, you are preparing to rid yourself of it in your life.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because you're talking about killing it.
I'm the spearman.
And you are the spearman, which is interesting because that's what Roger means. The spirit.
Right.
So are you forging a life for yourself where you can become your own spearman?
That's a lot of what I'm looking at right now. Yeah, that I actually do have the tools. A lot of tools that I didn't have a whole bunch of years ago. I have them. Use them. And when I use them, when I'm applying them, you know, I find that they help.
Okay. So
I guess sometimes I'm applying them and sometimes I'm not.
So this spear, this way of being able to approach life, to have the tools and everything else, you still feel that you need some kind of magic crystal. What do you think?
Yeah, it needs something to make it, to give it that potency, to give it that extra juice, that power to get through everything.
So are you out there looking for something special or other than what you have to be the thing that you use to get rid of these things that are dragging you down, these things from your past or whatever else?
Yeah, or to empower myself. I've been thinking, yeah, I mean, the short answer is yes. And the way it's been coming up to me a lot lately, I replay over and over and over lately this conversation that Patrick and I had about 3-4 weeks ago, just a conversation between he and I. And we were talking about, you know, yeah, so all these forever living tools we have, but what's the trigger? What really turns it over? What really gets it going? What gets it happening in my life? And I thought that was a good question at first. And then, like, after hanging up on that conversation a while, I realized that I've been looking for something, but really it's me. It's
Thank
what
you.
I do with these things. It's that I'm the trigger.
Thank
or
you.
Not.
Thank you, because that was what I was going to say.
Mm.
It
right.
really
so over
is
and over,
you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You.
But I'm just starting to realize that, because the answer is, yeah, in my old way of thinking, which is still very present in my life, I've been looking for something, that magic ingredient, that catalyst, to make everything, you know, kick in. And then recently I've been realizing, no, it's me. It's what I do every minute. It's what I think. It's what I say. It's what I do.
So when you really do realize that, you will see that the crystal kind of merges. That's you merging with the spear. You becoming your abiding self. You becoming that thing that can...
Well, and to be honest, Missy, you know, whether this is, you know, I'm not sure how much agreement that this would have on these conversations. I guess I've really taken on a whole new respect for loner self, in that that's the trigger for me. That is the thing. I do it through my loner self.
Well, you got to have the loner self to do anything. It's the
that's
to-do
right.
that the loner self is.
That's your tool.
Right. A great deal at the beginning of 2015, I was under the impression, and I was struggling with trying to reach past my loners, like, this isn't it. No, this isn't it. It's something else. It's something else. But now I've realized, I think that it's through and of the loner self, the loner being, that these things come to life.
Yes, but you turn that loner self into the tool that you truly desire. You forge
right.
that loner body into who and what you want it to be. That's the DNA. That's the whole thing. You are forging it into being your tool.
Right. It's like the spear is the loner self. It's the vessel. It's the tool. It's the vehicle. And when you merge it with the, you know, whatever you feel is your, you know, your desirable self, your eternal self, you merge it through into that, into the loner body.
That's
and,
right.
And you empower the loner body. And then it has you have the ability in your life for everything you want. That's
and
what I'm thinking.
And that becomes, the loner body becomes other than what it was.
It is and it isn't, yeah. It's that plus the crystal, or it's that plus the thing you add to it.
See, if anybody else looked at it, they would not see anything different. But
no.
You would know that it is different.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see, you tried to put on some finishing touches by affixing some decals to the metal.
Making it all perfect?
No, it was like, honestly, I think these decals were like Mickey Mouse, Dumbo. I think they were like kid things, to be honest with you. there's no need to put decals on a spear, but for whatever reason, I think these were whimsical things that we were going to put on the spear before we shoved it into the dragon.
So the decals must represent something to you.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned it and you wrote it down.
So,
yeah.
But you can't quite get them to stick that way. So we need to figure out what it is that you're trying to add to this thing that is other than the fineness of the abiding self and the loner body. You're looking for something outside of yourself that you can get from someplace else and add to it. And you're finding that it won't stick. It won't work. Because that's not you.
So since they were looking like cartoon characters, I'm thinking that maybe it was imaginary stuff, make-believe.
Okay, so
somehow trying to bring something make-believe onto this that doesn't stick, doesn't work.
Are you one that makes up a lot of stories and wants them to be true?
I don't know. I'll think about it. I mean, I sometimes wonder, to some extent, the degree to which, you know, what I'm doing or experiencing is, as I move into more of living, you know, in communion with my eternal self and the things that I imagine to be mine, sometimes I'm questioning whether I can trust that. Like, you know, Roger never seemed to question, or Miss Simone asked him months ago, like, he never questioned the things that he was channeling in Alaska and stuff, or I'm wondering if I can trust them or if they're just somewhat, you know, fanciful sometimes, just what I want it to be true, and I don't know.
Andrew, from this, how about considering that the decals are image, and is it possible they represent an attempt to put an image on this tool, and for some reason or other it doesn't stick and becomes...
That's really interesting, Patrick. I gotta say, that's interesting. And I'm not trying to make this easy for you, but you know, when I was saying that they were these decals of like Disney characters and stuff, what goes through my mind is that a couple in medical centers, they'll often put like these stickies or magnets up on the walls of Disney characters to make it more, to make the treatment more fun and
user friendly.
Yeah, for kids and stuff, to make it less scary, to make it more, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, user-friendly, yeah.
Enjoyable. Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's kind of what was in there. I didn't know how to verbalize it, but since you said that, that to me is what I think it's saying. Of course, I'm subject to be imagining this, so I don't know.
So in what sense are you trying to make yourselves more user-friendly there?
Well, honestly, sometimes introducing people to, and maybe Simone has had this experience, I talk to people about these great, awesome ideas, and I'm running along with these forever living things. I don't call it forever living with them. It's just about their life. And after a while, I'll stop, and I asked this guy recently, and he's like, well, you know, you definitely have some direct ways of talking I'm not used to. I'm like, what? Did you miss all this? But I guess I'm trying to be very tender with people who are, or I feel like I should be, careful with people who are new to this stuff.
Should be.
Make it user friendly, kid friendly.
Yeah. But then you say.
In the end here, you decide that there's something you need to attend to first.
And you decide that the decals aren't sticking, so the make it look pretty is not really helpful.
It's not the
most. Well, I don't want to get sidetracked and trying to get the decals or whatever, so we got something to attend to first here. We got a dragon to kill.
Yeah, so there are some things more important than making it attractive, and that is getting down to the true issues of what is occurring and what you desire in your life.
Yeah, get to the point, man.
Yeah. Okay, so you kneel down next to the dragon's head, and some other guy knelt down beside me. Do you know who this other person was?
Nah, no idea. No idea. I'm whatever it is, I seem to be doing this slaying, dragon slaying, with the help of some other person. It's a male. Don't know who it is.
Okay.
Maybe it's Patrick. Hell, I don't know.
But it's obviously somebody that you feel is guiding you, because he says, he tells you where to thrust the spear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who is it that you feel is guiding you?
Well, Roger, for sure. This guy might have been a little younger than Roger, but he was definitely a big guy.
What about your abiding self?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Okay, so those are two possibilities, and we just don't know which it is.
Okay.
Okay. So the dragon's features were dark, had to look closely where the crystal was, found it, and stabbed it into the crystal in its forehead.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, if you guys have ever killed a lobster.
Yes.
Like that.
Lobster, yeah.
Did not enjoy it.
No, I didn't enjoy it.
Well, the only way I did it was throwing it into boiling water, so I guess
not funny, though.
Yeah, for me, doing it was a mercy killing. I didn't want to do it, but I had to. And in this case, though, I didn't feel particular compunction about killing the dragon. This had to be done. Just do it.
Okay, well, as we said, we realize what it is the dragon represents, so, yeah. Why wouldn't you want to rid yourself of those things?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. The next one is, one of the kids call up on the walkie-talkie. He wants to come see, but the guy next to me told him to wait just a second.
Oh.
Whatever Patrick said. Ew.
Is that Patrick or Jim or somebody?
I don't know.
Okay.
No, it was somebody in the background here in the other room.
Oh.
Somebody? Okay.
Hockey game going on in the other room, and somebody's watching it.
Ah.
Oh.
I'd have been good for the hometown team.
Yeah. So you have no idea?
I'm not sure what this is. The kids, you know, basically the kids aren't around. You know, the new kids, if you want to call it, my family members, they're not around. They're far, safe distance. Walkie-talkie is just remote communication.
You don't know who this kid is?
No, but I know relative to killing the dragons in my life, the kids are at a safe distance. They're interested, but they're not present. They're not on the scene.
So can the walkie-talkie be a connection?
Well, obviously a connection.
To what? Or who?
Yeah, it's an old style of communication. When I lived back at that house, I had a pair of walkie-talkies. Just, you know, kid walkie-talkies to play with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if this was a modern dream, I'd say certainly a cell phone would be an obvious choice, but this is a walkie-talkie, so it's kind of old way of communicating.
Yeah, but it's a connection, right?
It is a connection, yes. You're right, Corolla. Sorry,
Corolla, I didn't mean to disregard that.
No.
Trying to put another idea out
there.
Yeah,
totally.
What do you think that the child Andrew would think about all this?
This is some serious business, man. This is dangerous stuff.
Did you think that, or did the child think that?
I think Misty said, what would I think if I was a kid?
No.
Well, if you were a kid.
No.
If I was a kid.
No, if you, Andrew, as a child, the Andrew that would have been there at the house living that life.
Mm-hmm.
What would he think of all this?
Scary, dangerous, not a pretty thing to do, but it has to be done.
Would you be curious? Would you want to see it?
I would, all at the same time.
Okay. So I, honestly, I'm not too sure exactly what this kid thing is. If anybody else has insights, I'm wide open for them.
So kids, we also say sometimes it can be new ideas or new life in a small...
These are nieces and nephews specifically? They're family related?
Not speak right now, but coming up or getting built or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that the walkie-talkie, just like Andrew said, is time-setting it. So this is something something that was happening in the 80s or the 70s or whatever.
Well, yeah, honestly, it's kind of weird because the nieces and nephews are current day. I got a number of nieces and nephews, and those are the ones I had in mind. But if I was to guess, I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, if I was to go back home for the holidays right now, you know, it'd still be kind of that. It wouldn't be talking in the ways I've learned in Forever Living. It would be talking kind of, you know, in the old ways, or that's a stretch. But it was modern day nieces and nephews. It was an older walkie-talkie. Don't know.
Do you contact them from time to time?
Not my nieces and nephews. I don't really have much to do with them.
So
my
then
parents,
how do you
brother and sisters.
How do you connect to your nieces and nephews? In what way?
Not too much, actually. Not too much.
From a distance.
Yeah, I mean, when I visit, we'll have some good times, we'll have some laughs, whatever, and then I'm back to Honolulu, and then I come back again, and they're grown up more. I'm not like a big part of their life.
But in what way do you connect when you're there? No matter if it's very, I don't know, very.
Well, currently, I guess.
What's the laugh about? I guess that's what I'm after. Like, if you guys do have something to laugh about or to talk about, then what is it?
Oh, it's playing kid games. It's playing games, or it's playing with them, or it's teasing them, or tormenting them, or like last time I was there, we sat with my laptop and we watched a bunch of movie trailers they'd never seen before, and they were all entranced by that. I think I've gotten to be known by them from that. It's basically connecting with them on their level of interest, wherever their interests are.
Okay, so the spear was deep in the dragon's head, and I twisted it to make sure the dragon was dead.
Gory, hey? Gory.
Going the extra mile.
Just taking care of business.
Just making sure. Are these really gone out of my life, or are they not?
Oh, good point. I got to twist it a little.
I gotta test this. I got to make sure, you know, is this really, you know, eliminated from my life, or is there still life in there? Okay.
Yeah, don't wound anything that you can't kill.
Right. So this broke the dragon's face in half, and the guy next to me started complaining that now I destroyed the sample he was going to give to someone, maybe that person on the walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm.
Having a clean sample.
Why would you call it a sample? What's with the sample? I want to know more about that.
Oh, it's the head, dragon's head.
So he was going to give the dragon's head to somebody.
But I understand that. But
why would you? I think
why
you're
would
trying
you call
to
the sample.
Or why would it be that you would want to give whatever it is that you are trying to get rid of in your life to somebody else?
I don't.
Possibly somebody
have a
in
definitive
your family.
Answer for that. I could give you a. I could give you a what I think sometimes, but I don't have a definitive answer.
Yeah, but it really is the guy next to you, so whomever that is.
It seemed, you know, my editorial on that, I know, you know, so if we just take the actions, I have no way of knowing. If I was to tell you what I was editorializing, it seemed that he wanted to have it as a specimen for study. You know, sometimes in my own life, I go through these struggles or whatever, and then I'll keep that story around to share with people who might be going through a similar struggle or something.
Okay, I can understand
that's
that.
That's a guess. I don't really know.
Yeah, because I do a lot of that, too. Like, you wouldn't understand, and I sit there going, oh, yes, I do.
So, you know, there's a point, Missy. That's interesting, what you just said. If I do away with something out of my life, a big issue, you know, and I completely just destroy it, sometimes I think I'm afraid I'll forget about it and I won't remember, you know, what I've gained, or I'll forget and I'll do it over again or something. Sometimes I like to hang on to these just as a reminder.
Or
of what I learned or what not to do again or something, so I can
recognize
it.
Or if you are talking to somebody else and they're telling you about their life. And they're saying that I have blah, 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 blah going on in my life, but you wouldn't understand.
Right.
Sometimes you want to have this little bucket of stuff that you can pull out and say, ah, you're wrong. I do. I lived that.
Exactly.
I was there. I understand. I do know. So sometimes we want to keep them as a example, a specimen, a thing to pull out and say, look, yes, I do know. But it's not something that you keep as something alive in your life.
Do not make it the way you define yourselves as.
Yes.
In other words, did you have a story that you always pulled out and you always told when you talked about yourselves? A look at it and see if it's still valid and be willing to drop it and define yourselves in a different way.
Yeah, I think as you guys are talking, my concern is that in my zeal to get something out of my life, or my, you know, desperation to get something out of my life that's been monstrous, that, I might destroy the memory or the knowledge of, you know, the ability to look at it again and go, oh.
Well, we know, and I hope you understand that nothing leaves your life.
Right.
It's always there. And if you want to look at it and look and focus on it for a while or whatever else, that's what memory is. It's going to be there. It's not going anywhere. It's always going to be available to you.
But it is extremely freeing to actually experience how you can define yourselves in a different way if you do not hold on to the old stories that you told a million times.
Because the question becomes, are you defining yourself by those stories?
And yes, you do. I just take it on and say, yes, I did. Because I just came back from
what?
I don't know how to say this. I went to Bali for 5 weeks and I acquired my official yoga teacher training of 200 hours. And about 100 hours were on the mat and 100 hours were in your head. And I learned a bunch and then some about myself. I know we don't learn. I opened myself up to things that I had buried for a good 30, 40 years, and there was a lot of anger, which I would have never thought I'll find in myself. And there was a lot of, oh, so this is the story that I'm telling about myself, and realizing I don't need to tell that story to define myself. I can just step out here. And it was a beautiful setting because it was 30 people that I had never seen before and that didn't know anything about me. And I did not need to step out and say, hi, my name is Carola, I'm German, which always brings the indication of you all know what German means. So this is basically what I picture myself to be. And I can just start off in a different way and start a new story and not hang on to the old stuff. And I found that extremely freeing. One of the many, many, many experiences that I had there.
She is climbing off of the wall between two cities, which is her reading. So I find it wonderful and fascinating and exciting. So anyway.
So that is my experience with defining yourselves over the old stories again and again. And the one who kicked it loose was my teacher, who said, well, what's the old story that you tell all the time when you meet new people? And what if you just take a deep breath, swallow the story, say your name, be done. And just take it from there and see what kind of environment you can actually open up, instead of kind of creating an environment with your old stories. And with that, giving yourselves a whole bunch of freedom to do and be whatever you want to do and to be. And I found that just really super exciting, I have to say that.
Yeah, right, it's a nice way. Yeah, I
So that's all I have for this evening.
Which is really right close to 8 o'clock anyway, so...
So, hopefully I was able to handle this okay on my own, so...
That was good. Actually really good. Thank you very much, Misty, and thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You're most welcome. And,
thank you.
If you guys have any questions or needs, or you want to email me and ask questions or whatever, I kind of encourage you guys to become more a part of each other's lives, to start really creating this community, to start communicating with each other in ways that you haven't done before, because in order for us to continue, we are going to have to form that community. We are going to have to become the religion itself. We are it. And by being involved and sending your dreams and writing emails if you have a question or an excitement or anything else, I want you guys to become a community. And I don't know how to express that any better than to say, I want to be part of your lives. So please, involve yourselves in each other.
Well, give our love to Roger when you see him next.
Yeah, probably be first thing in the morning. That's where I head as soon as I can get myself together. So hopefully he'll be home in the next few days and we can all enjoy the fact. And I will let you guys know. I'll keep you guys posted.
Thank you for that.
By dropping something into the Dropbox to say where we are and how things are going. Because... we're going down a path that we don't know where it's going to lead. We really don't. And I want the community there to help us do this.
Okay.
And we will be there.
Sure, be there.
Thank you.
All righty.
Okay, thank you, guys. It's good. Thanks, everybody, for your efforts.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night for now.
All right, Mr. Roger.
Good night for now.
Thank you.